All right. Thank you so much. I just don't do it for any other reason but because I love the Lord and I love to preach. There's nothing to hide behind except the Word of God, and that's the only thing I can hide behind. And so I just want to say I appreciate that, the words of encouragement from the bottom of my heart. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, Isaiah chapter 6, the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Y'all know we're 2 weeks away from revival. And I want us to get our minds set today what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. You say, preacher, we might not make it. Well, then we're going to be ready for revival in heaven. So that's the way I look at it. Either way, we win. Amen? And I want us to start getting our mindset on revival. Now, as you know, revival is for the Christians. That's what it's for. Revive means that you have been alive one time before, right? And I want us this morning, and you know, I hope during the week of revival that souls are saved and backsliders proclaimed. That's what we're to do. But in all essence of revival is to rejuvenate us that are Christians. That's the whole thing behind revival. And why not start today? Why not get alive today, and then when it gets here, we can, you know, be ready for it. And let me say this to you. Revival shouldn't be a certain day or a week out of the year. Revival should be every day, and be ready to worship and praise God every day. And I want us to understand that. And as I was reading in the book of Isaiah, I found a few interesting things. Look with me, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each having had six wings. Yes, angels do have wings, all right? And by the way, you know what I'm fixing to say right here. Angels are not females, they're all males. If you got any kind of Scofield Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 and look at the footnotes in the Bible, and it will explain the truth. So anyhow, angels are all male dominant factors, all right? That's what the scripture says. That ain't what the preacher says. That's what the Bible says. So women, don't ever say, I'm an angel. Because you're lying, all right? Can't be. Can't happen, all right? So that is Scripture. And the Scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 will tell you, all right? Well, now let's read on. I had to get that off my chest. I heard an amen right there. All right. It says in verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did what? Fly. Angels can fly. All right. And one cried unto another and said. Said what, church?
Holy.
Three times. Holy, holy, holy is who? Wow. Of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. My. And verse 4, the post of the door moved. Watch this. At the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, then said who? Everybody said what? That way you know we're talking about each other this morning. I. Isaiah had this pinned down, but it applies to us as Christians. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. Now, undone means that he was once done, right? All right. Revival means we was once alive, right? So you've got undone and revive. All right, watch. Because there's the reason why he's undone. There's a reason why we need to be revived. Here it is. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Here it is. Here's revival in a nutshell. Then said I, who is I? That's us, right? Me, right? Here I am, send them. Huh? Not everybody else. Not everybody else has a job. Lord, I'm not saying send all of y'all. I'm saying start with me. Send me. And that's where revival is going to start in Mount Carmel Baptist Church. It's going to have to start with individuals. It's going to have to start with I. It's going to have to start with me and not us. We got to get that in our minds. You got to have yourself right before you can have revival in your heart. I want to give us four or five things this morning on steps to have true revival. Now, I want you to listen to me closely. Number one, we need to see. Underline the word S-E-E. Because I'll show you what I'm talking about here in a minute. What Isaiah saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. He saw God's position. What did we talk about in Sunday school this morning? God's position. Verse 1. Go back to verse 1 and look. And we're going to be going back and forth to these verses. But notice what he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I wonder when's the last time you caught a glimpse of God this morning. When's the last time you caught a glimpse of the Lord in this church? When's the last time you saw God move in this church? When's the last time you saw God move on other people? When's the last time you saw God, period, in this church? Y'all didn't know y'all was going to get preached to this morning, did you? You say, preacher, it's been a long time. Well, I saw him last Sunday. Did anybody see him last Sunday? Anybody see him Wednesday? Huh? You can see God moving. And that's what I want us to understand. If we're going to have revival here at our church, you got to first see God moving. And it's going to start with who? Me. I saw God. For mine eyes have seen the King. Look at verse 5. The latter part of verse 5, he said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Here it is. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I wonder, when's the last time you saw God? There's a song that I ain't heard it in a long time. I saw God today. You ever heard that song? And there's a song that says, you know, he was walking down the sidewalk and he saw a homeless man and somebody give him a dollar or give him a pair of shoes. He saw God today. You know, you can see God in many ways. It don't have to be just here at church, but you can see God move all across the land if we would just open our spiritual eyes. A lot of times we have, I guess our eyes are covered with scales like Saul was before Ananias touched him and the scales fell from his eyes. But when he opened his eyes as a saved man, he looked through those eyes differently, did he not? He saw God moving and he saw God talking. He saw God touching. He saw God moving in many ways. If we're ever going to have revival, we're going to have to see God. Isaiah said twice, did he not? Twice, verse 1 and verse 5, I saw the Lord. John chapter 12 and verse 41, look what this verse says. These things saith Esaias, now that's Isaiah, when he saw his glory, my, my, and spake of him. When's the last time you saw God's glory and spake of it? If we ever going to have revival at this church, folks, I want you to understand something. You're going to have to break your shell. You're going to have to come out of your shell and let God be God. You see, the way we're sitting here this morning, all clammed up and all shelled up, God can't move like that. He's wanting to move freely in this place, but we're stopping Him from doing that. We're stopping God from working and we can't see Him unless we come out of our shell and come out. You ever had, you ever boiled shrimp? Now listen, but you had to peel the scale off of it before you eat it. The taste is under the shell. The good stuff is under the shell. Me and Jordan went one time when I was working with McGee Brothers. And we went up there for the Christmas party. And they would steam hundreds of thousands of oysters. I'm talking, they would bring big 55-gallon drums of oysters in there. They'd throw them on the steamer, and then they'd just throw them out on tables. And boy, people would just reach in there. But you know what? The outside of that thing was hard, thick, and good for nothing. But what the good part was when I took the knife and cracked that oyster open and opened my mouth and dumped it in there and it slid right down my throat. And then you got some saltine crackers and eat with it. My, my. Praise God for oysters. God help those that eat onions. Amen. See, I can turn the table on. You say, ooh, I don't like oysters. I don't like onions. But I said all that to say this. In order to get to the goods, the shell had to be opened. Is that not right? And it's time for God to, there's good in everybody. It's there. It's there. It's sitting on these pews this morning. The good is here. But the thing about it is, we've got to let God open the shell and let the good out. You can't see something hiding in your shell. Those oysters, you know, I was thinking how, when you know, when they eat, they have to open up and then they close back. That's their protection, right? That's their protection. It's like on a crab. The pinchers on a crab, that's their protection, right? Well, some of you have been protected for so long that you're about to shrivel up and you're going to be good for nothing before too long. It's time to open up the shell and let the good out and that people can see the good and you can see the good in everything around us. It's time to get out of your shell. Isaiah saw that. He saw God's personality. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I want to show you something. Look with me, if you will, back in verse 1. in Isaiah. Now watch. First of all, Isaiah saw God's position, which was where? On the throne. And then not only did he see his position, but he saw his personality. Look with me. It says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Now watch. Lifted up, and his train filled the temple. God's personality is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When's the last time you acknowledge God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life? Instead of us trying to do our own work and us trying to do it ourselves, we allowed God to be God and be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of who He is and see His personality work. My, we're just all clammed up. We're all shut up. But can I show you something this morning? I found this, and man, I thought it was great. In verse 2, we're talking about God's personality, right? How many know that the seraphim angel is a significance of the personality of God? I done a little research on that angel there, and two places I seen, or everywhere I looked, including the scriptures here. If you got a Scofield Bible, it tells you down here at the bottom, at the very first, the word burner, burns. The seraphim is an angel of fire. What does fire do? Purifies, right? And they was angels all around God keeping the throne pure. It says, the Bible says that the angels had six wings, right? Two of them covered their face, right? Two of them covered their feet, and two of them covered the other part. What they was doing is God had put seraphims all around His throne, and they were setting there on fire, continually keeping the throne of God pure. My friend, listen this morning. We need some seraphims in our churches today to purify God's house. That's what we need. The seraphim is the burning one. That's what that means. In the Hebrew, seraphim means the burning one. And God had set them around. Fire in the Bible is a symbol of God's presence. My. And y'all wonder why I preach the way I do. Fire gets in me and I can't help it but to get it out. Amen. I mean, that's God's presence. And we need more of that in our homes and in our churches across America. That's what we need. God, His presence, His personality. And I saw something else in verse 3 that showed me something else about what Isaiah was saying, speaking of His personality. Three words, and we quoted them a while ago. Holy, 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 right? When's the last time you give God His praise and said, Lord, You're holy? When's the last time you actually praised God? Isaiah got cold and indifferent on God. He got sort of hanging around the wrong crowd. Did y'all notice that? When he was saying what he said about his lips have said some things and the people around him's lips said some things. It tells me he was around the wrong crowd, right? If we get to hanging around the wrong crowd, we're going to end up like that crowd. And that's what Isaiah, when Uzziah died, you know, the Bible says that it opened his eyes and he said, Mama, I could be the next one. How many know there's no telling which one of us is going to be next? We don't know that, do we? We don't know when our time is up. But we do know one thing. When your time's up, if you're saved, you're going up. Amen? We do know that. But how much? We're going to be judged, the Bible says, according to our works, whether it's good or bad, correct? That's the scripture. How many blessings will you be able to get from God because you lived and praised Him and worshiped Him here on earth? That's why we need revival at our churches. Because we've grown like Isaiah. We've cold and indifferent on God. And we can't even say amen in churches no more. We're so worried about everything else that we can't say amen no more. I'll tell you why. Because of who we hang around with and what we hang around with. How many know this morning we need a coal off the altar of God to not only lay on our lips, but to lay on our heart and get us fired back up for the glory of God? We're just too quiet in churches today. God hadn't changed, folks. We've done the changing. I remember people shouting, I mean, to the about rattle the windows in the churches. And we can't get there no more. But God's still the same God, is He not? He said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and how long? Mama. That's why we need revival. The first step in revival is we need to see what Isaiah saw. Number two. Not only do we need to see what Isaiah saw, listen, but we need to sense what Isaiah sensed. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You know, I got to thinking. He sensed when he looked up into the heavens and saw the throne of God. And he saw that long train, you know, we just read in verse 1. And then he saw the smoke that was rising up, did he not? He said he saw the smoke rising up from the throne. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because the seraphims were burning. They was on fire. And where there's fire, there's smoke. Amen? Last night we sat out there and got the fire built up. We had a bunch of limbs that I'm sure everybody has in the yard. And man, we piled them all up and we burned them in the fire pit. And man, it felt so good out there, but better than that, it smelled good. Outside, and it cool, and that fire felt good. And I got to thinking about this message. Far as we could see, I took a picture when it first was blazing up, and it was shooting so high in the air, the smoke, and you know, the little things that fly up, flicker up, you know what I'm talking, ashes. I took a picture of that, and I thought, man, while I was sitting there at the fire about this message on how the throne must look when the smoke is rising and the angels around God are burning, those seraphims on fire for His glory and honor around the throne of God, what would Mount Carmel look like if we was on fire for God and people coming by could see the smoke rising from the steeple of the church? Wouldn't that be something? See, I thought, you know, that long train of God was the central focus in heaven. It's just like, I've often wondered why people, Christy watches this show, it's called Say Yes to the Dress. I'm sure some of y'all have seen that. If you hadn't, yay, yay. But they come out. And I've often wondered why brides had this big old long train on their wedding dress. Now I know. You see, while Jesus was sitting on His throne, the train was a central focus in heaven. And when the bride comes, you forget about the groom. Everybody's looking at the bride. I mean, that's the central location or the central thing that everybody looks at and see what kind of gown she's got on, how much money she put in that thing. I mean, boy, I'm telling you what's true. Am I telling you the truth? That is the truth about a wedding, isn't it? But the bride is the central focus in the wedding. It's just like God sitting on His throne is the central focus on the church. We should put all of our focus on the church and on God, my friend, than everything else in the world. Amen. And so many times We come to church and we let the things outside of the doors bother us. Man, we sit here in the pew while the preacher's preaching or the choir's singing and our mind is wondering what's going to happen tomorrow at work. It's happened to me before, I know. We wonder about loved ones that's sick. We sit here and worry about them. What if we'd come to church one Sunday and everybody had their focus on the central location called heaven? What would we have here at our church? We'd have revival, wouldn't we? That's what we would have at our church. Isaiah saw all of these things. He sensed. Number one, if you're writing this down, write it down big. He sensed his own condition. When's the last time you quit looking at everybody else and sensed your own condition? How many's heard when you point a finger, there's how many pointing back? Three back to you, right? That's an old cliche. Let me give you another old cliche. Sweep around your own door before you go sweeping around somebody else's. Huh? Why in the world would you be trying to get the beam out of your brother's eye when you got a mote stuck in yours? Matthew tells us that. Beam in your own eye. Quit worrying about everybody else. Isaiah saw God's people and God's presence around the throne. And then he said, you know what? It ain't God. Guess who it is? It's me. Did he not say I and me? Watch what I'm telling you. Look at verse 6. Now watch. He sensed his own condition. The Bible, so actually verse 5, you don't have to turn, but I'll read it. It says, then said I, woe is who?
Me.
See, he's realizing his own condition. Not Penny's or not Miss Evelyn's or not Dawn's. It's my condition. Are you with me this morning? Watch. He says, for I am what? Undone. How do you get undone? How many's ever tripped on your shoelace because it was undone? How many don't tie your shoes because the shoelace is too short? I heard that last week for the first time. They're just too short. I can't tie them. Well, you know what? I have tripped over my shoelaces before, and because they was undone, when they're tied, they're together, right? You don't trip over them. Look what he said. For I am undone because I, not Tommy, not Randy, not Bill, I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You hang around somebody long enough, you're going to act just like them. Huh? Is that not what he said? Yeah, exactly. So, mind you, friends, amen? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He sensed his own condition. I am the one not allowing God to come and revive us. I am the one that's causing me not to be revived. I am the one that's dirty, O Lord. I'm the one that's sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am the one that's holding you back from giving us revival. Lord, I don't want to be that way. Send the seraphim to bring a coal off the altar of God and lay it on my lips and let the fire clean me up. That's what Isaiah said. The angel didn't mind it a bit. The Bible says that the angel took a set of tongs. went and got an altar or a coal off the altar of God and laid on his lips. And from then on, Isaiah started shouting. He started testifying. He started giving God his praise. He started giving God the everything that's due to God. And that's all we can muster up and say, praise God, hallelujah. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. See, once you get that coal off the altar of God and lay on your lips, God will unlock those lips and you can start praising Him. Very simple message here, how Isaiah realized that the only reason it was dirty is because I've done it. Nobody else. It's me. And there's been times in my life that I had to say, Lord, don't forgive them, forgive me. You know what? If revival is ever going to start, it's going to start with individuals. It's going to have to start with each one of us. He sensed his own condition. Not only did he sense his own condition, but he sensed the need of a cleansing. Number two, he sensed a need of cleansing. Folks, can I tell you something this morning? God will never clean you until you first realize you're dirty. Did you hear me? God can't clean you unless you first realize you're dirty. It's just like salvation. He cannot save somebody that don't realize they're lost. But if we're going to have revival here at our church in 2 or 3 weeks coming up, it don't have to wait to the dates that's on the board and on the calendar. It can start today, my friend, and you realize you're dirty and need to be clean. That's where revival starts. That's where it's all going to begin. Isaiah realized, look at verse 7. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Folks, it's time for us to move out the sin in our life. It's time for us to move out the dirty in our life. It's time to move out the coldness in our life and get on fire for God and be clean when you come to the house of God. So I say to you, number one, we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to sense what Isaiah sensed. And number three, my, we need to say what Isaiah said. You say, what is that, preacher? It's found in verse 8. It's right here. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am, send. That's pretty personal, isn't it? Not them, not y'all. We from the South Redneck, we say y'all, all right? That's all right. It's not sending everybody else, Lord, but start with me. Send me, O Lord. I'm available. I wonder this morning, don't raise your hand, but if I was to ask the question, how many this morning would be available to call on God and come out of your shell and become available for God to use? Would you do that this morning? Now, that's something to think about. Isaiah, first he realized his condition, did he not? Didn't he say, I'm a man of unclean lips? I'm dirty? Well, that's the first step in revival this morning. You got to see, you got to sense, and what's the last one? My. You got to say what Isaiah said. I wonder how many of us is willing to see, to sense, and to say this morning. God's wanting to do, you just look around at the folks here this morning. Folks, we've got potential in this place to have revival. Anywhere God is, there's potential to have revival. And God's here this morning. I can feel His presence. But I wonder who's going to be the first one to say, "Here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, start revival with me." Miss Sandra, if you'd come. I wonder this morning who will say, "Lord, I need to see You again. I need to see Your throne." I wonder if you're sensing right now that there's a need of revival. Can I see a show of hands? How many believe Mount Carmel needs to be revived? Could I see your hand? My, about every hand that went up in this place. That tells me that we need revival. You know, I thought about having it several months back. But I believe God's timing is the right timing. I believe that what God has done, no man can undo. Amen. I wonder this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. You see, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you're undone. Are they one here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. What you've been preaching about this morning, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and say, 'Preacher, pray for me'?" God knows. It's just, are you willing to acknowledge? Are they one here this morning say, "Preacher, I am ready for revival to start with me"? If you want it to start with you and you get your life right so we can have revival, would you slide out of your pew and come to this altar right now and say, "Lord, I want to see what Isaiah saw. I want to sense what Isaiah sensed, and I want to